Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Good to see you, Lauren. Okay. Your mom's okay?
Yes, she's doing better. Still okay. She's doing better.
What, did she fall or what happened?
She fell last week and then they told her it was like a bone spur in her shoulder.
She
really got pain the last couple of days. But she, last time she went to the ER, got shot. She was on pain there.
Oh, okay. They're not going to do surgery or anything then, huh?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you, man. All right. Alrighty, love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to start, usually after every election, I say something to remind us that Christ is on the throne. So somebody sent me this and it's really good. I think I'm going to hang on to it for after elections. It says, after the election is over, we can still guarantee these results. One, God will still be on his throne. Two, Jesus will still be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Three, the Bible will still have all the answers to every problem. Four, the tomb will be empty. Five, Jesus will still be the only way to heaven. Six, prayer will still work. It will still make a difference and God will still answer prayer. Seven, the cross, not the government, will still be our salvation. Eight, there will still be room at the cross. Nine, Jesus will still save anyone who places their faith and trust in him. And ten, God will still be with us always. He will never leave us or forsake us. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All righty. I like that. I sent it out to the church earlier this week. But remember who's on the throne, right? Amen. And we're going to, actually, in the Gospel of John, we find out who's on the throne every week, okay? Because we find out Jesus is God almost every week in the Gospel of John, all right? So we pick it up at verse 14. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. And he stayed away because the Jews in Jerusalem wanted to kill him, okay? Because he was healing people on the Sabbath, all right? He was reluctant to go immediately. Remember, his brothers wanted him to because the Jews in Judah wanted to kill him. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, which commemorated the Jews living in tents during the Exodus and God's providence during that time in the wilderness. Therefore, outside the city of Jerusalem, there were all these tents, and all the people from Galilee were out there. And when it comes to the Passion, I'm going to talk more about that. But it was also the feast of the harvest for the grape harvest. So it was a giant celebration about the blessings of God. Now, the Jews were a very religious people, and whenever a festival came along, the city of Jerusalem just skyrocketed. Over a million people there, okay, visiting. So the Jews were very religious. Now, when Jesus says the Jews wanted to kill him, he's referring to the Jews in Jerusalem. Jesus' most loyal followers were in Galilee, where he worked all the miracles, including the feeding of the 5,000. Good to see you, Nancy. You snuck in, okay? But what Jesus does when he finally goes to the feast, does he hide? He goes immediately to the temple and starts teaching, right? He's not hiding from the authorities. Does God send us into places we'd rather not go? Yes, absolutely. And what happens when we obey him? Can be hard times, but we're blessed, right? We're usually blessed. Go to the next picture, please. Does that look familiar? Pastor Robin, this is going to be hard for you guys to believe. I had to twist her arm to get her to go into the jails. But after she went once, she came home and she said, I love it. Okay? And as you know, the Lord has spurred that love of ministering to jail people with Pastor Robin that we now have a halfway house. Was it easy for her? Is it easy for us? No. There's challenges, right? Some of the DOs drive you crazy, okay? But on the flip side, go to the next one, there's blessings. Does he look familiar? Okay. That's Bill, our brother in Christ, okay? And when we see a success story like that, it makes it all worth it. And I see a lot of success stories here, okay, of the power of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ can do. Not what Pastor Robin and Pastor Rick can do. It's what Jesus Christ does. Amen?
Amen?
So if the Lord's putting you into an uncomfortable situation, go with it and see what happens, okay? Verse 15, the Jews were there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? So where did Jesus get his learning? From God, directly from God, because he is God. We got to remember that. He was there with Adam and Eve. He was there with Noah. He was there with Abraham and Moses and all the prophets and King David. He was there, okay? In John chapter 8, Jesus affirms this. He says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. So he's saying he's the pre-existent Son of God, okay? He says it every week, okay? Rick Crandall says, you see, there is a paradox between the Lord's humanity and divinity. When Christ humbled himself to be born as a little baby, he had to learn the same kind of things we learn. Jesus had to be potty trained. He had to learn how to walk and talk and read. He was fully man. But at the same time, Jesus was fully God, as he always has been and always will be. Yes, Jesus became a man. But he never stopped being God. So when it came to the things of God, the Lord always had unlimited understanding. Jesus never had to learn the things of God because he always knew them to the fullest. Amen? That's where he got his teaching from. He was with the Father and Son from the very beginning of creation. He's truly God. He came to earth and put on flesh in the man Jesus Christ. That's where he got his knowledge from. Verse 16, Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Now, the people are wondering where Jesus got all this knowledge, right? Because he didn't go to an official seminary. He didn't have a master's of divinity. Okay. So they were amazed that this country bumpkin from Galilee, and Galilee was considered like country bumpkin, okay? It would be like Apache Junction. Apache Junction or Wickenburg, okay? All right? But I shouldn't say that because actually when Paul and Bruce are here, I'm going to say Whitman. Okay, but they're saying, where did this guy get this knowledge, okay? Does this happen today? Yes. Many churches will not call a pastor unless they have a master's of divinity. A master's of divinity takes a bachelor's degree and then 4.5 years on top of that of seminary education. Okay? And they feel you're not an official pastor and you can't be certified actually in the LCMC unless you have this master's of divinity. All right? Is the master's of divinity the most important thing for a pastor to have? What's the most important thing for the pastor to have? Jesus in their heart, right? They got to know Jesus Christ. How can we tell people about Jesus Christ if we don't know him? And are there pastors out there talking about Jesus who don't know him? Yes. Okay, unfortunately. And Pastor and I went to seminary with many of them. It's sad. We've distorted what the gospel is supposed to be. Okay? But Jesus identifies where his knowledge comes from. Matthew Henry writes, go ahead to the next one. There you go. Very good. You're doing good, Zach. All right. My doctrine is not mine and his that sent me, but being my doctrine is mine and his that sent me. But being now in his estate of humiliation and being as a mediator, God's servant, it was more congruous to say my doctrine is not mine, not mine only, nor mine originally as man and mediator, but his that sent me. It does not center in himself, nor lead ultimately to myself, but to him that sent me. God had promised concerning the great prophet that he would put his words into his mouth in Deuteronomy 18:18, to which Christ seems here to refer. And I put this next picture, as you know, I like icons, and this we've shown this one before. Once again, Jesus was with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God, from all eternity, okay? From all eternity, he existed with them. So when it comes to the things of God, he knows them. Now we got a little comic relief here, okay? The guy goes, okay, so you've told us what God thinks, but now I'd like to know what you think, okay? What I like in this is the picture of the pastor, okay? They always make us look like a bunch of wimps, huh? Okay? I'm terrible. I just look at the Bible, you know. But I'm not afraid to tell people what I think, and I think most of you know that, all right? But I want to keep the unity in the church, too. That's my call. So you don't need to know my opinion. You need to hear and know the Word of God. Amen? And you will hear that here, okay? Amen? And Jesus wasn't afraid to answer this question. What do you think, right? Of course, He's God, all right? Verse 17. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So what he's saying is, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother. That's another way of putting it. But if we have that relationship with Christ, we're more likely to hear God, right? If we're not living in that relationship with Christ, can we hear Him? No, because usually we're not even listening, right? We're just doing what we want rather than listening to Him, okay? Is Jesus talking about being religious here? No, He's not. He's describing having a relationship with God that transforms our behavior. We are no longer rebels against God and His Word, but we become obedient children of God. Because when you have that relationship, it just flows. It just flows. You hear God more often. You see what God does in our lives. And I'm always hearing about God winks in our church, which are, people call them coincidences, but it's how God is working. And the reason that's happening, because if you pray and you're in God's Word and you're in community, you're going to see how God works, right? That's what he's talking about here. Matthew Henry writes, "It is comfort of those who embrace Christ's doctrine and the condemnation of those who reject it, that it is a divine doctrine. It is of God and not of man. That the most competent judges of the truth and divine authority of Christ's doctrine are those that with a sincere and upright heart desire and endeavor to do the will of God. If any man be willing to do the will of God, have his will melted into the will of God, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." When we're in prayer, when we're in community, when we're in worship and studying the Word, and actually yesterday at the men's breakfast we talked about, I was amazed at how many, almost all the guys listen to Christian radio. I'd encourage you to do that, okay? You're not going to get depressed listening to Christian radio, right? Okay, so listen to Christian radio. Personally, I like 90.3. Some of the younger guys like 89.1 or 105.5, I learned. They have like Toby Mac and some of the other groups, some of the rappers, okay? But when we're in that relationship, then we can hear Jesus Christ. And what happens, we're all in process, okay? We're all in process. But I loved where he said we'll be melted into the will of God. And that's literally what happens. And that's why I got this picture. We're literally melted into the will of God. And we become one with Him. And none of us are ever there, okay? Until we're in heaven, okay? But to become more and more entwined in Christ, where people see less of Rick and more of Christ, okay? That's what we strive for, okay? Is that we disappear and we're just one with God in Christ, okay? And there's nothing like that, is there? When we can be entwined with Christ. So have we been melted into the will of God? This type of transformation can be painful as we leave old habits, sins, addictions, and relationships behind in order to be melted into the will of God by the fire of the Holy Spirit. But in this melting, there is freedom and there is peace, right? And it was painful, right? I remember when I quit drinking. I thought it would be the end of the world, man. Right? And guess what? It was the beginning of life. And you don't realize until later, but it's the beginning of life. Verse 18. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Jesus set an example for us of living in obedience to God and always seeking the glory of the Father. Jesus wasn't seeking glory for himself. He was always pointing to the Father, right? Jesus is a man of truth and even greater. But we can only hear Jesus if we are living in obedience to Him. In obeying Jesus, we grow in our relationship with Him and come to know the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ, okay? Do people want to live in obedience today? To anybody? No. I got rights, right? I can live the way I want. And what happens? Usually we crash and burn, right? Did Grayson want to go back? I think she's here. Yeah. Grayson, you want to go back with Richie? Richie's back there. No, you want to stay here? You can go back if you want. Okay. Ricky, you want to take him? Okay. Ricky will take you. Okay. Go ahead. Or Veronica will take you. All right. He was so intense on the sermon, I just figured I hated to take him away from it. Okay. Yeah. Obedience isn't popular. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Bob Utley writes, Jesus asserts his own uniqueness in contrast with fallen mankind. One, he does not seek his own glory. Two, he seeks the Father's glory. Three, he is true. And four, he is sinless. Jesus could not die in our place because he did not need to die for his own sin. Jesus' sinlessness is a crucial theological issue. And when I read about this obeying Father and living for the Father's glory, the man I thought of was John the Baptist. There he is in prison, okay? He always followed and obeyed God, right? And he lived for the glory of God and for the glory of his Messiah. And how did that work out for John? Right? He lost his head. He lost his head. So, it's a message for us. It's not going to be easy, right, to follow Jesus. It's not going to be easy. But ultimately, God was glorified in the life of the Baptist, right? And John was glorified. He entered the Father's glory. So there is a reward. It may not be in this life, but we are going to have a reward, okay? Verse 19, hath not Moses given you the law, yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Okay, according to the law of Moses, this is a quiz for all of you who have been on basics. What is the fifth commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Oh, you get a gold star, all right? Thou shalt not kill, right? Now, were the crowds trying to kill Jesus? No, but they knew the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him. Okay? And if you know someone wants to kill somebody and you stand by and watch it, what does that make you? An accomplice. You're going to go to jail, right? Okay? So they're complicit in the death of Christ, all right? So both groups are breaking the law of Moses. And I put, isn't this scary? Boy, you don't want to meet this guy at the judgment, right? Okay. He's having a bad day there. But anyway, Rick Crandall says, Jesus Christ is spotless from sin. Verse 18 tells us that there is no unrighteousness in Him. Think about that. Never sinning even one time during your whole life, either in thought or word or deed. I can't say I've ever gone a day without sinning, especially because our sins include the good things we should have done but didn't. Only Jesus could say this about Himself. There is no unrighteousness in Him. He is spotless, But we are sinful because we were all born with a sinful nature. And all of us are in verse 19 where Jesus said, none of you keep the law. Do any of us keep the Ten Commandments completely? No. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Brett Blair tells the story of a little boy who went to visit his grandmother in California. And he's a little boy, probably 6 years old, and he's getting into everything. And he's turning her house upside down every day and driving her crazy. And she's always hearing, Billy, 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 you know. So one night they're in California and there's an earthquake. And she's worried about Billy, so she starts screaming in the night, Billy, Billy, Billy. And he screams back, Grandma, I didn't do it. Okay. But isn't that like us? We're always telling God, I didn't do it. But 9 times out of 10, we're guilty, right? Okay. But Jesus could say, I didn't do it, because he never did. He never did sin. Verse 20, you are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Remember, the Jewish leader said that Jesus was performing his miracles with the power of Satan because they didn't want to admit that it was happening through the Spirit of God. So they think that Jesus' power comes from Satan, and it's obvious because he's healing people on the Sabbath. But Jesus points out that they circumcise little boys on the Sabbath, and that's acceptable. Although they are cutting the flesh of a little child on the Sabbath, they say Jesus' healing is wrong. They refuse to admit their hypocrisy. Is there hypocrisy in our culture today? Yes, we don't have to look far, right? Example, Derek Paul Smyer in 2017 was guilty of 2 counts of murder. He killed his girlfriend, Crystal, and her 20-week-old fetus that was in her womb. And he was convicted of both murders. And the reason he did it, he didn't want to pay child support. Okay? So him and the guy he hired both ended up going to prison. Okay? But the hypocrisy is this. Okay? He's guilty of killing that baby in the womb, right? But if she would have had an abortion, would anybody have been convicted? Isn't the baby still a baby? There is hypocrisy, right? So, is there hypocrisy in the church? Oh, no. Okay. Actually, this ties in with Pastor Robin's sermon last week, okay? This is an anonymous author. I didn't list his name, but her name, his or her name. They write, lukewarmness toward God is hypocrisy at its worst. If I truly believe He is supreme, I must treat Him as such. I must. So do we treat God as He's supreme? Or are we lukewarm? Okay. And surely I see, yes, you do. Okay. And thank you for setting up communion for me today. I can't thank you enough. It seems like a little thing to you, but it's a big thing for me. Okay. It's one less thing I have to worry about. Okay. I want all of us to be on fire for Christ. And I'll tell you this. Yesterday, there was about 10 of us at the men's breakfast. Okay. But each guy, when we went around and said, what do we do to stay in this relationship with Christ? Everybody had something. Several of them read God's Word every day. All of them prayed. And not just once. They prayed many times every day. Okay? They all listened to Christian radio. And most of them were in Bible study as well as coming to worship. Okay? As a pastor, that makes me feel good. All right? Because that means you're hungry for the truth. You're hungry for Jesus Christ. And that's our job, right? Is to make you hungry for Christ. And even the young men, the youth, said they prayed and they listened to Christian radio. You'll say, well, geez, they're not reading their Bibles 15 minutes a day. Hey, what were you doing when you were 16? Okay. I mean, so praise be to God. Amen? But these people had a form of religion, but they didn't know God. And it's easy for us to fall into the same trap. We must focus on the presence of Christ with us and in us. Jesus knows our thoughts and motives, and He detests our lukewarmness. He detests our lukewarmness. Pastor Robin preached about this last week very powerfully, okay? We can't be lukewarm and be a Christian, okay? Verse 24, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Doesn't it surprise you? The Jews are waiting over 1,000 years for a Messiah, and when He arrives, they don't acknowledge Him. And why? Why didn't they acknowledge Him? Because Jesus didn't fit their expectations. He's a carpenter from Galilee who lacked formal theological training. Surely, Messiah would come as a conquering ruler like David and conquer the Romans. I believe they missed Jesus because they were looking with earthly eyes and not kingdom eyes. And I talk about this a lot. They weren't looking at the kingdom of God. What's God doing? Does this happen today? Yes. And what happens when we look with earthly eyes? Bad stuff. And the depression. You want to be depressed? Look at things with earthly eyes and you try to figure everything out. Okay? And what happens? You sink like a rock, right? But if you live in hope and you live in the kingdom of God, then there's always hope. Because in the end, who wins? We do. Amen? We're the winners, okay? And when we do this, we can judge correctly. And I love this cartoon here, okay? That kind of looks like Stevie, huh? Back in the day, all right? You can tell when I said that, okay? There's Stevie and Zoe. But you see, he's doing an act of Christ. So don't judge people by their looks, okay? But the point of the sermon is we all need to be melted into that relationship with God. It's a difficult process. It's painful at times. But there's nothing like it. And when you're melted into God, can somebody unseat you? Can they shake you up? No, because you're united with the rock of all ages, right? And we can get through anything. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I know many of you have been through anything. Okay. And Christ has gotten you through. Amen? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So we're going to pray now that God continues the process in us and that we get melted into His will and into the image of Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know that You are here and we know that You are God, the eternal God who came and put on flesh to die on a cross for our sins. You lived Your whole life without sin to pay the price for our sins. For the sin of all humanity, Lord. We thank You for Your sacrifice, and this day we accept Your sacrifice. And we ask, Lord, that You help us to make You the Lord of our lives. We pray, come, Holy Spirit, enter us and melt us into the will of God. Send Your Holy Spirit, Father, and melt us so that each day we become more and more like Jesus. And we can live for His glory. Grant us kingdom eyes, Lord. Where we see things and people as You would see them. We confess we're sinners, Lord. And we need You. We need You, Jesus. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.